program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
The address was this, Schlachthof 5. Schlachthof meant slaughterhouse. 5 was good old 5.
Oh, what's wrong with my alarm clock? Oh, hey, what am I doing sleeping in a cot in a room full of losers? Oh, no, where's my hair? Oh, wait, now I remember. Today, my company and I are getting shipped off to the front lines in Tierra del Nigi. How the hell did I wind up here? Oh, no.
It all began so innocently. I'd wanted some novelty in my life, but I was torn between getting a tattoo or a body piercing. So I settled on having my labia tattooed. I was so deliriously excited that I didn't notice I was 2 doors down from the tattoo parlor. I did notice the weird decor. Just a couple desks and some majorly tacky posters on the wall. Oh, but I sure could relate to their message. Looking for a few good men? Tell me about it. Yeah, I thought the attendants were way overdressed. The one I got was going on and on about something, but you know how I never listen anyhow. Oh, I was too busy anticipating all that delicious pain. Oh, and then there were so many copies of the release forms to sign, and then I was directed through the door at the back of the room, and then the horror really kicked in. Oh, I'd been looking for a painful lifelong commitment, but instead now I'm in for 4 years of absolute hell, because now I'm private fourth class Susie the Floozy, and I'm going to Paris Island Marine Boot Camp. Ah!
Beautiful, ain't it?
Yeah, but it's hot.
Oh, we'll have a swell time here.
Yeah, hot time.
Just like the movies,
ain't it, Vosky?
Yeah, just like the movies.
It's lovely here, Bob. How far is it to the barracks?
All on the beach a little ways and off to your right.
Are you comfortable here, Bob?
Sleeping under a palm tree isn't so bad.
Oh, I can't believe it. It's like a little paradise.
Complete, even to the serpent.
Serpent?
But don't worry about anything. We've rented a porcupine to chaperone.
For over 200 years, American servicemen have prepared for, and in many cases had to face, the ultimate challenge. That is why we, in the armed forces, have become experts in fitness. Now, we don't have any choice. We have to be. During my career in the United States Marines, I've had the opportunity to visit numerous countries. And I've noticed that many people in those countries share a myth. A myth that Americans are weak, that Americans are lazy, that Americans are out of shape. Well, starting right now, we're going to do something about that myth. We're going to take it, we're going to put it in the palm of our hands. We're going to crush it. We're going to annihilate it. And we're going to kill it. Now, this armed forces workout is designed for men and women, boys and girls. Now, you don't need no leg warmers, fancy running suits. Now, you don't even need headbands to do the armed forces workout. I'll tell you what you need. What you need is discipline. What you need is desire. Now, are you ready?
Yes, sir!
Are you motivated?
Yes, sir!
All right, then. Let's whip it on.
The frigging flag on Iwo Jima.
On Iwo Jima. On Iwo Jima.
Who raised the frigging flag while the Japs were playing tag?
The United States Marines.
Well, that's more cursing than I like to hear from a cadet in peacetime.
I met a woman in Paris, France. Had a big hole in her underpants.
Wait. Where did you pick up that filth?
We heard Sergeant Clark's company singing it, sir.
Yes, well, there will be no smut in my company. You're in this man's army to learn.
I don't know, but I've been told the Parthenon is mighty old.
How old?
We don't know.
Well, that's real good, but needs improvement.
When you've got an obligation and you have to serve your nation, you can get an education in the army. There's 300 jobs in fighting, some are guaranteed in writing for a future more exciting. Just choose army. You wanna do, choose army and the future's up to you. So for 300 jobs in fighting, for some guaranteed in writing, and a future more exciting, just choose army. The future's up to you. You got a future, the future.
See your army recruiter. Your future, your decision. Choose army.
You've done good, but we're not going to stop there. We're going to continue to whip it on. You've had some, now you're going to get some more. Are you ready to whip it on? Are you still with me?
Yes, sir!
All right! We're gonna move it up to 13 repetitions of the Daily 7. And I want you to get mad at it. Ready? Exercise! Come on now! 1, 2, 3! 1, 2, 3!
I don't want no more of the U.S. Marines. Chiba, I wanna go home.
Well, cadets, it's been a great year. You've all worked very hard developing academic skills and general killing skills.
My killing teacher says I'm a natural.
But these skills are nothing without courage and stamina. Traditionally, the Academy tested these virtues by pitting you against each other in a two-day battle royale.
That was prior to 1957. Thank you very much, State Supreme Court.
Consequently now, no cadet can receive a passing grade for the academic year without first conquering this. Meet the Eliminator. That's a 150-foot hand-over-hand crawl across a 60-gauge hemp-cute line with a blister factor of 12. The rope is suspended a full 40 feet over a solid British acre of old-growth Connecticut Valley thorn bushes.
Gentlemen, welcome to Flavor Country.
This wasn't in the brochure.
All right, you guys. Sure, I'm tough on these guys. I have to be. Discipline is one of the first things they have to learn. When a guy graduates from Army OCS, he'll be able to lead men. Anywhere. In the field, in a civilian career. That stuff about born leaders just isn't so. Leaders are made, not born. Army Officer Candidate School teaches leadership. It's tough. It's worth it. For more details, see your Army recruiter. Your future, your decision. Choose Army OCS.
I have only comparatively recently emerged from the United States Army, so that I am now, of course, in the radioactive reserve. And the usual jokes about the Army aside, one of the many fine things one has to admit is the way that the Army has carried the American democratic ideal to its logical conclusion, in the sense that not only do they prohibit discrimination on the grounds of race, creed, and color, but also on the grounds of ability. Be that as it may, some of you may recall the publicity a few years ago attendant upon the Army's search for an official Army song to be the counterpart of the Navy's Anchors Away and the Air Force's Up in the Air, Junior Birdman, and so on. I was in basic training at the time, and I recall our platoon sergeant, who was an unfrocked Marine. Actually, the change of service had come as quite a blow to him because it meant that he had to memorize a new serial number, which took up most of his time. At any rate, I recall this sergeant's informing me and my roommates of this rather deplorable fact that the Army didn't have any official, excuse me, didn't have no official song. suggested that we work on this in our copious free time. Well, I submitted the following song, which is called It Makes a Fellow Proud to Be a Soldier, which I think demonstrates the proper spirit, you'll agree. However, the fact that it did not win the contest, I can ascribe only to blatant favoritism on the part of the judges. The heart of every man in our platoon must swell with pride. For the nation's youth, the cream of which is marching at his side. For the fascinating rules and regulations that we share. And the quaint and curious costumes that we're called upon to wear. Up to do his part, defending you and me. He wants to fight and bleed and kill and die for liberty. With the hell of war, he's come to grips, policing up the filter tips. It makes a fella proud to be a soldier. When Pete was only in the seventh grade, he stabbed a cop. He's real RA material, and he was glad to swap his switchblade and his old zip gun for a bayonet and a new M1. It makes a fella proud to be a soldier. After Johnny got through basic training, he was a soldier through and through when he was done. Its effects were so well rooted that the next day he saluted a good humor man, an usher, and a nun. Fred's an intellectual, brings a book to every meal. He likes the deep philosophers, like Norman Vincent Peale. He thinks the army's just the thing, because he finds it broadening. It makes a fella proud to be a soldier. Out of second grade and never finished school. He doesn't know a shelter half from an entrenching tool, but he's going to be a big success. He heads his class at OCS. It makes a fella proud to be a soldier. Our old mess sergeant's taste buds have been shot off in the war, but his savory collations add to our esprit de corps. To think of all the marvelous ways they're using plastics nowadays. It makes a fella proud to be a soldier. Our lieutenant is the up-and-coming type. Played with soldiers as a boy, you just can bet. It is written in the stars, he will get his captain's bars, but he hasn't got enough box tops yet. Our captain has a handicap to cope with, sad to tell. He's from Georgia, and he doesn't speak the language very well. He used to be, so rumor has, the dean of men at Alcatraz. It makes a fella proud to be what as a kid I vowed to be. What a luck to be allowed to be a soldier. At ease.
Oh, my friends, if you could see that long line, the long, long line from the various wars that have protected this nation to give you this right. And then you'll have some little cock-a-doodle-doo that'll walk up and say, but I just hate war. Well, idiot, if we hadn't have gone during World War II and stopped the Japanese, you'd be speaking Japanese now. you wouldn't be having the freedom of working and so forth. You'd be pulling a rickshaw, okay? And I jest in a way, but those people really turn this old Marine off when they start that malarkey, okay? It's a long line that have gone on that fought for that freedom, that standard.
Who led the bloody slaughter in Tarawa? In Tarawa, in Tarawa. The bloody slaughter while MacArthur walked on water.
The United States Marines.
Well, what are you waiting for? Open fire.
Kelly, keep that firing going. I'll cut across the yard and see if I can knock out that machine gun station. Once we get them, we can make a run for the truck.
Time's running out, Lieutenant. In a few minutes, this place will be hotter than the inside of our tank at high noon in the desert. Keep firing, Kelly. The lieutenant did it. Let's get out of here.
No, I got fed up on the war one day, and I went up to the CO.
The what?
That's the company commander, they call him.
Oh.
The CO. And I says, if you give me a camel and some water and a gun, I'll go capture this Rommel and we'll get the war over.
Hold it just a minute. Just back up there. You're going to take a camel, a canteen of water.
Yeah, and a gun.
And you're going to capture General Rommel, the Desert Fox.
Yeah.
Surely you jest.
Surely I just said it. Now I'm going to have to repeat it all over
again. No, you don't.
No, the CO said, well, it's a crazy idea, but I think, you know, this could happen, you know. So he gave me the camel and the water and the gun. I took off across the desert.
There she goes.
Hope the depot is in flames.
And so is Rommel's plans for continuing the fight in North Africa. The job's done. It's finished.
It was finished. The battle at the Kasserine Pass was stalled for only a few days. It was all a matter of time. And by May 7th, 1943, the U.S. Second Corps broke through and captured Bizerte, while at the same time, the British First Army took Tunis. By May 13th, the North African campaign was over.
And they found me out there about 2 weeks later, almost dead, dying of thirst. And yeah, I was sunburned and everything. Boy, I had third-degree plus planets and everything.
Yeah, man, you might as well have had flat feet.
Yeah. Anyway, the CO picked me up and fanned me and gave me a drink of water, and he says, T5 hands? That's what it was. Yeah, it was a T5. He says, we got your message. Returning immediately, Rommel captured. I said, that ain't what I sent. I said, returning immediately, camel ruptured.
Down through the years, there have been men, brave, gallant men, who have died that others might be free. And even now, they do it still. Brave, gallant men know that someone must, and so they will. Gallant men have built us a nation, passed us a torch of flame. Let us hold it high and light up the sky with praise of our gallant men.
The colonel coughed and coughed. Then he said to Billy, you one of my boys? This was a man who had lost an entire regiment, about 4,500 men. A lot of them children, actually. Billy didn't reply. The question made no sense. What was your outfit? Said the colonel. He coughed and coughed. Every time he inhaled, his lungs rattled like greasy paper bags. Billy couldn't remember the outfit he was from. He's from the 451st. 451st what? Said Billy. There was a silence. Infantry regiment, said the colonel at last. Oh, said Billy. There was another long silence with the colonel dying and dying, drowning where he stood. And then he cried out wetly, it's me, boys, it's Wild Bob. That is what he had always wanted his troops to call him, Wild Bob. None of the people who could hear him were actually from his regiment, except for Roland Weary, and Weary wasn't listening. All Weary could think of was the agony in his own feet. But the colonel imagined that he was addressing his beloved troops for the last time, and he told them that they had nothing to be ashamed of, that there were dead Germans all over the battlefield who wished to God they'd never heard of the 451st. He said that after the war, he was going to have a regimental reunion in his hometown, which was Cody, Wyoming. He was going to barbecue whole steers. He said all this while staring into Billy's eyes. He made the inside of poor Billy's skull echo with balderdash. God be with you, boys, he said. And that echoed and echoed, and then he said, if you're ever in Cody, Wyoming, just ask for Wild Bob.
Well, Dawson, you've got it made. Pretty nurses, no duty. It's probably back to the States for you.
They'll have me patched up in no time. There was a lot of blood, but the bullet didn't penetrate that deeply, and I'll be fit for duty in no time. Lieutenant, what's going to happen now?
What kind of person can fall thousands of feet through the air and land on a 2-inch target?
You at Lexington and at the Alamo. You crossed the River Rhine and held the beach at Anzio. Whenever you've been called upon, you've always proved a man. In the army of your country, country boy, you're now a man.
There was a movie about American bombers in the Second World War and the gallant men who flew them. Seen backwards by Billy, the story went like this. American planes, full of holes and wounded men and corpses, took off backwards from an airfield in England. Over France, a few German fighter planes flew at them backwards, sucked bullets and shell fragments from some of the planes and crewmen. They did the same for wrecked American bombers on the ground. and those planes flew up backwards to join the formation. The formation flew backwards over a German city that was in flames. The bombers opened their bomb bay doors, exerted a miraculous magnetism, which shrunk the fires, gathered them into cylindrical steel containers, and lifted the containers into the bellies of the planes. The containers were stored neatly in racks. The German below had miraculous devices of their own, which were long steel tubes. They used them to suck more fragments from the crewmen and planes. But there were still a few wounded Americans, and some of the bombers were in bad repair. Over France, though, German fighter planes came up again, made everything and everybody as good as new. When the bombers got back to their base, the steel cylinders were taken from the racks and shipped back to the United States of America, where factories were operating night and day, dismantling the cylinders, separating the dangerous contents into minerals. Touchingly, it was mainly women who did this work. The minerals were then shipped to specialists in remote areas. It was their business to put them into the ground to hide them cleverly, so they would never hurt anybody ever again. American flyers turned in their uniforms, became high school kids. And Hitler turned into a baby, Billy Pilgrim supposed. That wasn't in the movie. Billy was extrapolating. Everybody turned into a baby, and all humanity, without exception, conspired biologically to produce two perfect people named Adam and Eve.
Not all of the detachment's missions are this dramatic. The 283rd's unique mission allows them to stay combat ready while helping the civilian community. This is the United States Army Forces Command. People helping people.
Billy Pilgrim was down in a meat locker on the night that Dresden was destroyed. There were sounds like giant footsteps above. Those were sticks of high explosive bombs. The giants walked and walked. The meat locker was a very safe shelter. All that happened down there was an occasional shower of calcimine. The Americans and four of their guards and a few dressed carcasses were down there, and nobody else. The rest of the guards had, before the raid began, gone to the comforts of their own homes in Dresden. They were all being killed with their families. So it goes. During the raid, a guard would go to the head of the stairs ever so often to see what it was like outside. Then he would come down and whisper to the other guards. There was a firestorm out there. Dresden was one big flame. The one flame ate everything organic, everything that would burn. It wasn't safe to come out of the shelter until noon the next day. When the Americans and their guards did come out, the sky was black with smoke. The sun was an angry little pinhead. Dresden was like the moon now, nothing but minerals. The stones were hot. Everybody else in the neighborhood was dead. So it goes. The guards drew together instinctively, rolled their eyes. They experimented with one expression and then another, said nothing, though their mouths were often open. They looked like a silent film of a barbershop quartet. So long forever, they might have been singing.
Hey, Schultz, we're going to walk right out that front gate.
Please come home, mercy, mercy, mercy.
Oh, yes, the idyllic days of World War II, when men were men and bombs were bursting everywhere. Oh, our last glorious war, the last war that you could really believe in, the last war that everyone wanted in on. It truly was the big one. Oh, right. Oh, excuse me, seekers, if my perspective about the big one is a bit skewed, but let me give you a little bit of personal background from the Flues' family tree that might explain it. You see, my mother was born in Great Britain in 1921, the oldest of four daughters. And oh, I heard about it all while I was growing up, Seekers, about how these four girls got to grow up during the Blitz in London. And oh, it was major fun, let me tell you. My mother got to experience the myriad joys of war widowhood real early in the game, when her husband was killed in Sicily with the Royal Air Force. Oh, yeah, it wasn't like it was combat or anything. See, there's this thunderstorm, and he's standing under the wing of a plane lighting a cigarette, and... yep, you guessed it, the wrong damn place at the wrong damn time. And because black cloth was rationed, my mother didn't have enough to make a black maternity dress of mourning because, oh yes, I forgot to add, she was carrying her first child, a son, who was born in December of 1941 in an alley in London during an air raid delivered by strangers. Ironically enough, her sister Joan could have helped, but That 15-year-old girl was busy driving an ambulance through the rubble-strewn streets at the time. Oh, yeah, the glory of war. Oh, besides a constant terror of death raining from the skies, what impressed me most about hearing the stories was just the absolute inconvenience of it all. Yeah, like the inconvenience of my current predicament. Oh, I forgot that I'm in the Marines now. Oh, maybe if I pray to God, he'll get me out of this. God? Oh, what am I saying? I guess that just goes to prove that there are no atheists in foxy holes. Oh, hey, whose panties are these under my bunk? Oh, the Sarge's. Oh, wait. Oh, I forgot. I just violated the don't ask, don't smell rule. Dang. Oh, there are just too many damn rules and regulations to remember here. And I keep losing ground. I didn't even know they had a private 10th class rank. And I thought FTA stood for the Philadelphia Transit Authority. Oh, yeah, the military-industrial inferiority complex is taking a toll on us all. Oh, but I know too well that you can't get out of it. The only ex-Marine was Lee Harvey Oswald. Oh, yeah, back in the 40s, there were ideals worth fighting for, but hey, back then, Frank Capra movies were big. Oh, now ideals like truth and freedom have been replaced with corporate logos, and battles are nothing more than rabid pep rallies with casualties. Just this morning at the diner, I found myself holding the door open for a paralyzed veteran of some recent oil war, and I wondered just how it evened out. You know, his legs in exchange for my full tank of cheap gas. Hell, I don't know, maybe I'm a bleeding heart, but it just didn't seem right to me, even though everyone else accepted it as a fact of life. Yep, all's fair in love and war, and the lucky ones die. I mean, I go for a man in cuneiform just as much as the next guy, but I'm not getting shipped off to Babylonia to get my ass shot off to get it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, hell, this is where we came in.
Yeah, this is where we came in. And chapter 4? Could be. It can happen again. You'll see ruins. You'll see flowers. You'll see some mighty pretty scenery. Don't let it fool you. You are in enemy country. Be alert. Suspicious of everyone. Take no chances. You are up against something more than tourist scenery. You are up against German history. It isn't good. They may deny it now, but they believe it. And will try to prove it again. Don't argue with them. Don't try to change their point of view. Other Allied representatives will concern themselves with that. You are not being sent into Germany as educators. You are soldiers on guard. You will observe their local laws, respect their customs and religion, and you will respect their property rights. You will not ridicule them. You will not argue with them. You will not be friendly. You will be aloof, watchful, and suspicious. Every German is a potential source of trouble. Therefore, there must be no fraternization with any of the German people. Fraternization means making friends. The German people are not our friends. You will not associate with German men, women, or children. You will not associate with them on familiar terms, either in public or in private. You will not visit in their homes, nor will you ever take them into your confidence. However friendly, however sorry, however sick of the Nazi Party they may seem, they cannot come back into the civilized fold just by sticking out their hand and saying, "I'm sorry." Don't clasp that hand. It's not the kind of a hand you can clasp in friendship.
To our Israeli allies, let us raise a toast. Sing the I was not a Nazi polka. Show the bus of Nazis, two or three at most. Sing the I was not a Nazi polka. We tried to throw out Hitler right from the very start. That's what every history book should tell. We hated Heinrich Himmler, Martin Bormann too. We believe as Sherman did that war is hell, hell.
But there are millions of Germans. Some of those guys must be okay.
Perhaps. But which ones? Just one mistake may cost you your life. Trust none of them. Someday, the German people might be cured of their disease. The super race disease. The world conquest disease. But they must prove that they have been cured, beyond the shadow of a doubt, before they ever again are allowed to take their place among respectable nations. Until that day, we stand guard. We are determined that their plan for world conquest shall stop here and now. We are determined that they shall never again use peaceful industries for warlike purposes. We are determined that the vicious German cycle of war, phony peace, war, phony peace, war, phony peace, shall once and for all time come to an end. That is your job in Germany.
Germans are as gentle as flowers in the spring. Sing the I was not a Nazi polka.
The Nazi whom we did abhor is now gemütlichkeiter. For when he isn't making war, no one could be politer. He woos Miss Liberty with zeal. He bows with grace and rigor to kiss the hand and click the heel before he clicks the trigger.
That is why you occupy Germany. To make that next war impossible. No easy job. In battle, you kept your wits about you. Don't relax that caution now. The Nazi party may be gone. The Nazi thinking, Nazi training, and Nazi trickery remain. The German lust for conquest is not dead. It's merely gone undercover.
Sing the I was not a Nazi polka.
I hope I'll have a bouncing boy to tell my stories to. But if someday when he grows up, he joins the Marine Reserve, I'll kick his ass from dawn to dusk, 'cause that's what he'll deserve. Up in Korea, amidst rocks, ice, and snow, the poor Chinese commie is feeling so low. As our corsairs roar by overhead, he knows that his buddies will all soon be dead. Dinky die,
dinky, dinky, die,
dinky, die,
dinky, dinky, die.
He knows that his buddies will all soon be dead. in pile went way up to Kolkotoria, his prize Chinese army in action to see. He said that his soldiers no battle could lose, but all that he found was their hats and their shoes. Dinky-dye,
dinky-dinky-dye,
dinky-dye,
dinky-dinky-dye,
but all that he found was their hats and their shoes. Now, Uncle Joe Stalin, your stooges have found it just doesn't pay to invade foreign ground. When you disturbed the serene Asian calm, you brought out the rockets, the bombs, and napalm. Dinky-dye,
dinky-dinky-dye,
dinky-dye,
dinky-dinky-dye,
you brought on the rockets, the bombs, and napalm. So here's to Pyongyang and to old Hagaru, to Kumwa and Kisong and Uijangbu, to all gyrene pilots and carriers at sea, and the Death Rattler Squadron, old 323. Dinky-dye,
dinky-dinky-dye,
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 and the Death Rattler Squadron, old 323.
Ah, good times.
Once I was happy, I had a fine home. MacArthur then called me and soon I was gone. Was off to Korea, it's not very far. It's just a police action, it isn't a war.
Don't call out the Army, don't call out the Navy, don't call out the Coast Guard, just call out the Corps.
Those good boys found their way out of East L.A. They can find their way back into this Goop Valley, right?
Sarge, something's moving out in the woods.
Where?
At Sector N.
Okay, give him the password, Sarge.
Yeah, I better disguise my voice.
Hey, Joe! Who won a second world war? You so smart!
Not responsible! Park and lock it!
Hey, it's okay, sir. That's Pico and Alvarado.
All right.
Come on in, boys. Hey, don't run into trenches.
Hi, you guys.
Hey, watch out for that entrenching tool.
All right, stand easy, men.
Help me up.
How was it out there?
Weird. We've been shooting reds and yellows all day.
Oh, boy, am I sleepy.
What about the gooks?
Bad news, Lieutenant. There are gooks all around here.
They live here, Lieutenant. They got women and pigs and gardens and everything.
I was talking to this one little gook.
That's swell, Corporal Kid. But we got orders to surround these little gooks.
That'll be easy, Lieutenant. There's millions of them on all three sides of us.
That means we got those little gooks right where we want them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and tonight's the planting moon. Several one of them is going to be out waiting in the paddies.
Me too.
Hey, this sounds like a perfect setup. What are we going to do, Lieutenant?
What are we going to do, Lieutenant?
What are we going to do, Lieutenant?
All right. Men, we're going to deploy at 0800.
Check.
Recon all LOM sectors.
Check.
Bring up the 455s.
Pull.
Locate our fire perimeters.
Bonk.
Make a clean sweep. Flush out the enemy and...
What's that, sir?
Sir, Lieutenant, excuse me, sir. What are we going to do, man?
Yeah, after we flush them out.
We're going to lock and load, Private. And we're going to go out there and...
Hey, man, what are we going to do, man?
What are we doing? We're locking low, then.
I want to kill. And I start jumping up and down, he'll kill. And he start jumping up and down with me. We both start jumping up and down, yeah. Kill. And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, set me down, and said, "You're our boss."
I'm helping as much as I can in the government that I am, the government that I know about. My Teddy Roosevelt and my sergeant. And my lieutenants and all that kind of stuff, you know. I never grew up to do all that kind of stuff, but I've seen other people doing it. I always wanted to. You know, it would have been nice if I could have gotten the service, you know, and been some kind of military guy, a United States Marshal or something, you know. But I've been stuck in jail watching everybody else live their life. So then as I grow up, I begin to see that I've been out there just as much as I'm in here, too, sometimes, you know. And even though I don't make sense right now, that later on sometimes, like, just filters in somewhere,
those with hearts of rock and brains of barbarians can review our Army's sacrifices and sufferings in World War II in Europe and the South Pacific, now being spit on and their victories being frittered away by puppet politicians in the service of global power elites. Who can deny that our troops were betrayed in Korea and Vietnam? Who can see that and not join a resumption of the American Revolution? Did those ancient Roman citizens, hearing Antony's funeral oration over the body of Caesar and beholding the bloody tunic with its gaping mouths through which the deadly daggers did pass to pierce the flesh and crack the mighty heart of Caesar, did those in that funeral audience who had tears to shed, shed them?
Our nation has kept wars so far away from this soil when we have perpetrators that would try to take this nation over that have had to kill to keep our freedoms, that it is absolutely spoiled rotten.
I lied.
Well, come on, fess up.
Miss Moore Pot in college. My grade point average is in the low twos. My father pulled strings to get me into the National Guard.
Well, it's just love, love, love by a bunch of these penny-wasted preachers in this generation that can't touch anything controversial, that all they can talk about is, oh, sweet, sweet, sweet. And it's so sugary sweet that it's sickening, that it sells short the men and women that fought in Vietnam, that fought in Korea, one of the combats that various services suffered really some rough times, till some of these love, love, love people try to make put a slander even upon it. When those two wars following World War II broke the back of communism, where we have all the more freedom in this nation. So to a serviceman, it's kind of an insult for someone to say, why would God tell people to kill people?
Kill him! He started jumping up and down with him. We both started jumping up and down with him. Kill him!
Still gives us the victory. That's why we win every war we go into, including Korea and Vietnam. It broke the back of communism.
Hey, what's this?
Oh, that's my old unit from Vietnam. I was their sergeant. They were my loyal troops. That photo was taken shortly before I was shot in the back, which was very strange because it was during a Bob Hope show. I was trying to get Joey Heatherton to put on some pants, for God's sake.
A young soldier far from home will sit down for a drink, and a black-haired girl with almond eyes will help him not to think. She'll play 500 rummy for a drink or for love, and you'll swear that she's an angel that's come from up above.
Some sleep for to get. She said, no sleep, fly boy, I know tired yet. But I woke the next morning a quarter past ten. I was missing my wallet and 10,000 yen.
Cigarettes and sake and wild Joseph, they'll drive you crazy, they'll drive you insane. Cigarettes and sake and wild Joseph, they'll drive you crazy, they'll drive you insane.
Won't you help me, Sergeant? Get me out of play to jail. I don't know how I got here. I was drunk from the Ho Chi Trail. It was bomb-me-ba, 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 wow.
Bomb-me-ba, 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 wow.
I didn't mean to be drunk and bringing you all this shame. But I had a fight with a Cyclo girl down in Old Notre Dame. It was bomb-y ba, bomb-y ba, bomb-y ba, wow. Now this Dunning jail has rats and fleas and snakes crawl on the floor. Take me back to Camp Sarge and I won't get drunk no more. On Bommy Ba, Bommy Ba, Bommy Ba, wow. There's DC all around us. It's looking bad, I think. We can't do a thing, Sarge, so let's have a little drink.
Cigarettes and sake and Wild Wild Joe says they'll drive you crazy, they'll drive you insane.
Now back in Chitose, I'm limping about. Me and the doctor are sweating it out. He gave me some pills from a jug on the shelf. Then he poured out a dozen or two for himself.
Cigarettes and sake and wings and sake and wings and sake and wings and sake.
I was captured by the gorilla. They tried hard to teach me their way.
They'll have me patched up in no time. There was a lot of blood. Didn't penetrate that deeply, and I'll be fit for duty in no time.
But oh, the universal curse, from Vietnam to Korea. The bug of bugs that bugs us still and begs for panacea. Oh, who will find the antidote for pentagonorrhea?
I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd and in keeping old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red.
But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said.
Sergeant, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Consider my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plant.
I got a dislocated disc and a racked up back, and I'm allergic to flowers and bugs. And when a bombshell hits, I get epileptic fits, and I'm addicted to 1,000 drugs.
I got the weakness woes, and I can't touch my toes. I can hardly reach my knees. And if the enemy ever came close to me, why, I'd probably start to sneeze.
Sarge, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, and my feet are flat. My asthma's getting worse. Consider my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plant. I hate Joe and I, and I hope he dies, but I think you gotta see that if someone's gotta go over there, that someone isn't me. So have a ball, Sarge, watch them fall, while you kill me 1,000 or so. And if you ever get a war without any gore, well, I'll be the first to go.
Time, there was a little boy who wanted to grow up to be a soldier and serve his country in whatever way he could. He would parade around the house with a saucepan on his head for a helmet, a wooden sword in one hand, and the American flag in the other. As he grew up, he put away the things of a child, but he never let go of the flag.
My name is William Kelly. I'm a soldier of this land. I've tried to do my duty and to gain the upper hand. But they've made me out a villain. They have stamped me with a brand.
as we go marching on.
It is so short and jumbled and jangled, Sam, because there is nothing intelligent to say about a massacre. Everybody is supposed to be dead, to never say anything or want anything ever again. Everything is supposed to be very quiet after a massacre, and it always is, except for the birds. And what do the birds say? All there is to say about a massacre. Things like pooty-weet. I have told my sons that they are not, under any circumstances, to take part in massacres, and that the news of massacres of enemies is not to fill them with satisfaction or glee. I have also told them not to work for companies which make massacre machinery and to express contempt for people who think we need machinery like that.
Whoa, holy cow. It is very quiet right now. This is eerie. It looks like a 4th of July display. Some are red, some are white. You can see explosions, you know, airburst explosions. Oh, now there's a huge, whoa, holy cow. That was a large airburst. Whoa, holy cow. And that is a very bright flash, enormous explosion. A remarkable experience to be here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's beautiful red and orange all around us now. This explosion wave after wave of attacks coming in.
To have another combat veteran around here. I myself received a number of medals for securing that Montgomery Ward in Kuwait City.
Yes, Colonel. Now, I understand it'll be my duty to mold the new recruits into a well-disciplined, highly trained infantry unit.
Sure, I guess. Here to come.
Hey, where do I get my grenades at?
Well, they don't have down group toilets here no more, do they?
When your soldiers, Marines, Navy, Air Force goes against thine enemy, then keep thee from every wicked thing. In other words, you check and you keep the unclean out of the military. Now, that would be some very good advice for our commander-in-chief at this time, but I assure you it would seem that he is fond of handling abominations and trying to bring them upon our people. There must be a stop put to the abomination in the military. It is against God's law. I'm going to tell you why. In other words, the military must be kept clean and the unclean kept out of it because God visits it. That being the reason. Let me just lay that down right good and heavy on you before we get started here. Verse 10. You must keep the military clean to have God's blessings, or you're going to receive cursing such as terrorist attacks in the Twin Towers, as you've already seen, when this abomination that we have that is being enlisted in the Queen's Beret or the Queen Beret. God will not tolerate that. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We will pay the price for foolishness in our camp. But God blesses America because it is clean, basically. Well, you don't understand, brother. We've had homosexuals. Yeah, I've seen them come home in body bags. And I've seen them discharged. They don't stay, friend. Don't try to tell me about the military. I'm very familiar with the military. It must be kept clean. Well, what do you mean body bags? Well, unfortunately, in combat, we studied earlier, so part of the reasons, you can't be faint-hearted and be in the military, all right? As God said, send them home, verse 15.
One question remains. How do I get out of the Army?
No problemo. Just make a pass at your commanding officer.
Done and done.
If there's a war, just blow on it and I'll come help you.
And I mean done.
He cried out wetly, "It's me, boys. It's Wild Bob."
Let us hold it high and light up the sky with praise of our gallant men. Tyrants must know, now, just as then, they cannot stand. not as long as there are gallant men.
Let's resume the American Revolution for the sake of the present and the future, not for the past. Let's water the tree of liberty with the blood of tyrants. Hitler's National Socialism brought a tyrant to the world. The end result of all forms of royalism is tyranny. Socialism is a modern form of royalism. It will bring tyranny. Socialism cuts across human nature and our will to liberty. We resist. Then comes the ovens and the Siberias and the Hungarian massacres. Rebellion against tyrants and would-be royalist socialists is obedience to God. Hats off to the founding fathers, but sleeves up to the future.
The wars of the future will not be fought on a battlefield or at sea. They will be fought in space, or possibly on top of a very tall mountain. In either case, most of the actual fighting will be done by small robots. And as you go forth today, remember always, your duty is clear, to build and maintain those robots. Thank you.
March! 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 March!
Smart weapons work perfectly and always save the day. The idea is to let smart weapons do the job and do it more efficiently, decreasing the risk. Soldiers and pilots don't have to get right on top of their targets to destroy them. Not surprisingly, the development of smart missiles has revolutionized military strategy. The U.S. has more than 50 varieties of robotic missiles, bombs, and torpedoes. Robotic weaponry is designed to replace human brains with electronic ones.
March! Attack! We're march! We're march! We're march! We're
you will not pass! 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 I won't beat you.
It's a military term that all the ground forces here in America, both our own U.S. ground forces and these alien forces.
Now we're going to examine the war itself. World War III in the Middle East, when Russia marches on Israel. I'm going to be using tribulation texts because most prophetical Bible teachers believe that Russia marches on Israel during the tribulation hour.
And I'm going to say immediately that what I'm about to picture is horrible. The conflagration in the Middle East will make World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, or anything else that we might have before it happens look like a Sunday school picnic by way of comparison. The first thing we see is the largest armies in the history of the world. The number of the army was 200,000, 200 million. Now, that's the population of the United States of America.
M-O-U-T, military operations in urban terrain. That means controlling our populaces of our cities. And that's a major training that's going on down at Fort Polk, Louisiana. But it's not just there, David. There's a live fire war going on in the city. Now, they do this repeatedly. They did one. The Marines did the one at New Orleans. At the same time, they were doing one in Biloxi, out from Biloxi in Mobile, Alabama. I've already been down to their tent city where they're preparing to attack two of our cities.
There's no military takeover of the United States, is there? The Army, Navy, and Air Force couldn't agree on what to serve on a shingle, let alone how to take over the country. Right?
Right. My life.
Right. Impossible, fantastic, ridiculous, absurd. Really?
Gentlemen, this is just the beginning. And only the persistent will be victorious. I want you to keep this record by your record player. You understand that?
Yes, sir!
I want you to play this record every day. You understand that?
Yes, sir!
I want you to keep a log of your progress and make the armed forces work out a positive part of your life. Now, man, I'm counting on you to get in shape. Stay in shape. And keep America strong.
Yes,
all right. Now, I want to see you back here at the same time tomorrow. With the same purpose. With the same motivation. Do you understand?
Yes, sir!
I can't hear you.
Hello, yes, sir.
All right. That sounds better. Hello. Come in there. Okay. Whoo. Dismissed.
Dear, I still don't see why I didn't get to go home with everybody else. Oh, at least it's air conditioned down here. Oh, great. These missile silos are all computerized now, just what I need. Oh, the Mac missile program. Oh, great. The manual's as big as a damn phone book. Let's see, about Nuke Launcher 3.5 software. Okay, mount the SCSI probe. I set preferences and network options. Say shift option command backslash enter. Damn, I'm out of appendages. Calibrate trajectory extrapolations. Input elevation and wind speed of target area. Histogram of launch vectors. Oh, damn, this is harder to learn than Adobe Illustrator.
Do we?